This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Fighting war fatigue is one challenge. Playing whack-a-mole with Russian misinformation is another. Andrei Babarykin is executive director of Ukrainska Pravda, one of Ukraine's biggest independent outlets. He's also a member of the Media Development Foundation, helping independent Ukrainian media survive the war. He looked into big tech companies like Google and Facebook, aka Meta, to see if they're actually keeping Russian propaganda off their platforms. They said they would, but mostly he says they're not.
When the war started in Ukraine, Facebook and Google were quick to say that, okay, we are banning Russia Today and Sputnik and all the state-run channels from our platforms. And when I checked, Russian state-run media outlets were performing outstandingly well. They had like hundreds of millions of views per month, bigger than CNN on YouTube.
Google and Facebook, or Meta, would say that they banned a lot of these sites after the invasion. But for instance, on Facebook, they're really under a shadow ban, so you can still search for pages.
Yeah. So what they did was prevent people living in the USA or Canada from accessing these pages. They did the same thing in Europe, but they have been left on the platform. And if you are not living in the territories that I mentioned, in Nigeria, for instance, you can access this content freely. Even if you are in Ukraine, if I'm using a VPN, I can take a link from Russia Today, which you cannot access from Ukraine because it's banned in our country, but I can take any link and I can post it on my Facebook account.
What do you think these platforms should be doing to prevent lies from being propagated on their sites?
I think that the big tech, both Facebook, Meta, and Google, should acknowledge that these properties have been able to freely evolve on their platforms. Right now, it feels like this is like a new thing. Russia Today, Sputnik, and Russia One all of a sudden appeared on February 24 on Facebook and Google and YouTube. In fact, it was several years of systemic growth, a big part of which was incentivized by advertising.
You also feel a great deal of frustration with the way that they have been banning certain Ukrainian content, which you say does effectively serve the readers.
Yeah, we work with over 50 independent local publishers in Ukraine, and a lot of data comes through us about their content being banned and their Facebook pages being penalized for violating Facebook community guidelines. But when we go deeper into that, it appears that a lot of these bans are actually strange interpretations of very broad guidelines that Facebook has. A very frequent example is when a publisher reports a news piece that involves Azov Battalion, which is like a military unit.
This is a very controversial unit in the past. It had connections with far-right groups. It had a terrible reputation, but it has been fighting on the side of Ukraine in this war. And you noted that there's a tremendous double standard. International organizations report a lot about Azov, and that using that logic, you said, you couldn't report on ISIS or Al-Qaeda.
Yes. In many cases, what is banned is clearly information within the public interest. The publishers are being penalized for just doing their job, which is crazy. We, Ukraine, used to be a region that is not of a big interest to big tech companies. We don't have like a very big dedicated team of specialists who work through these cases. It's a matter of hiring, I don't know, 10 more people for the media team that works specifically with Ukraine. Because currently, as far as we know, it's a couple of people working from Poland that have to deal with hundreds of requests and queries.
Right. It would be terribly expensive for a small startup like Facebook to hire a few more people to cover this issue. But I know it gets up your nose that Google doesn't get any bashing, but it's just as bad, you think?
Yeah, because YouTube is one of the biggest websites in Ukraine. Over 20 million people monthly are visiting YouTube. And Google gets very little bashing for allowing Russian-funded content to proliferate on this platform. I have like a very personal example. A couple of weeks ago, Mykolaiv, which is my hometown that is currently heavily shelled by the Russians, I had to evacuate my wife's grandparents from there. When I was moving their stuff to take to Kiev, I noticed that they had a smart television. It allows you to watch YouTube. And there was a YouTube on showing a channel that I clearly know is funded by the Russian propaganda funds. And you could freely watch it in the city that is heavily shelled by Russians. So I think that 100% Google isn't doing enough to prevent that from happening.
That's Andrei Babarykin. He's the CEO of Ukrainska Pravda. Just after the Russian invasion, Bobby, a Ukrainian gamer, made his own escape with help from his followers and the game Escape from Tarkov. We'll recap that adventure and then reveal his next chapter. This is On the Media.